Continuing with our contemplation, our post-Ramadan contemplation, on the aspects of Ramadan that we wish to be able to apply to our lives throughout the year. We looked at the Quran yesterday, and today I'd like to look at du'a, fadl al-du'a, or the virtue of supplication. Again, I will use the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because to me, that and the Quran just are the sources, the basis of what gives you a topic for contemplation. Well, the most beautiful ayah of the Quran is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ عَدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Rabb has said, call me and I will give you a reply. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَقْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. Those who are too proud to attach themselves to me, in other words, to call me, will enter Jahannam in utter humility. Let's look at what Rasulullah says. He says, du'a is the essence of worship, and no one who does du'a will be destroyed. It is the weapon of the believer, he said, the pillar of religion, the light of the heavens and the earth. الدُّعَاء سِلَاحُ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَعُمُودُ الدِّينِ وَنُورُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And he said, إِنَّ أَعْجَزَ النَّاسِ مَنْ عَجَزَ عَنِ الدُّعَاء. The weakest person is the one who is incapable of supplicating, of talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, أَفْضَلُ الْعِبَادَةَ الدُّعَاء. The best of worship, the best of ibadah is du'a. For when Allah gives permission for his abd to do du'a, he opens for him the door of mercy. Surely the one who does du'a will never ever be destroyed. And you know, my most favorite one is the one my dad used to tell me when I was a child. It's an extract taken from the will of Imam Ali alayhi salam to Imam Hassan on the way back from Siffin. We've done a whole series of lectures on it. This is from Nahj al-Balagha, letter 31, where he tells his son, oh my son, know that the one in whose hands are the treasures of the kingdom of this world and the hereafter has allowed you to do du'a, to call him. He has guaranteed to answer you. He has commanded you to ask him so he can give. And he is the all-merciful, the kind. He has not placed any barrier between him and you. He has not committed you to whoever intercedes for you. And he has placed in your hands the key to his treasures by allowing you to ask from him. So whenever you wish, open the doors of his treasures by supplicating to him, by calling on him, by doing du'a. Imam Ali says, du'a is the key to mercy and a lantern in the darkness. He says, I urge you, Imam Sadiq says, عَلَيْكَ بِالدُّعَاء فَإِنَّ فِيهِ شِفَاءً مِنْ كُلِّ دَعَاء. I urge you to do du'a. I urge you to call upon Allah. For verily, in du'a is a cure for every ailment. Imam Sadiq says, do du'a and never say that the matter has already been decreed. For indeed, there is a station with Allah that can only be attained through du'a. Du'a is more useful than a sharp iron spearhead. He said, I urge you to use the weapons of the prophets. This was said by Imam Ridha, and he was asked, what is the weapon of the prophets? And he said, al-du'a, supplication, or du'a. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, nothing wards off qadha, which is decree and destiny, except du'a. He says, la yuraddu al-qadha illa du'a. Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, quoting the Prophet, says that ad-du'a yadfa'u al-bala' nazil wa ma lam yanzil. Du'a repels the calamities that have come and those which are yet to come. So much. So let's see some other hadith that now tells us when, how. First, let's look at the when. Rasulullah said, Allah revealed to Prophet Dawood, O Dawood, remember me in the good days so that I may answer and assist you in your bad and difficult days. He said, the Prophet said, تَعَرَّفْ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الرَّخَاءِ يَعْرِفْكَ فِي الشِّدَّةِ. Acquaint yourself with Allah in times of ease and Allah will acknowledge you in times of difficulty. Imam Baqir alayhi salam said, a mu'min must do du'a, or call upon Allah in times of ease, the same way he calls upon Allah in times of difficulty. But you know what? We, as human beings, we do more du'a when we're in difficulty. And that too is something we're enjoined to. Look what Allah tells Prophet Musa, and this is narrated in Bihar al-Anwar, where he says, يا موسى، أو موسى، سلني كل ما تحتاج إليه. Ask me for everything you need, حتى على فشاتك وملح أجنك. Ask me even for the grass that your sheep graze on and the salt for your dough. The prophet said, ask Allah for whatever you need, even for the laces of your shoes. For if He does not facilitate it, it will not be facilitated. Isn't it awesome? Imam Baqir says, don't deem the smallest of your needs as insignificant. For indeed, the most beloved of the believers with Allah is the one who asks Him the most. When you wake up in the morning, make a list of your day, what you want to do. However small it might be, you're cooking, you're cleaning, you're filling of petrol, you're washing of the car, you're getting to work, you're getting your coffee. That's your thought process. That's what you want to do. And you know what? When you sit on that musalla, make that list when you've prayed your Fajr namaz. And you will find at the end of the day, when you sit for Isha, you will have fulfilled all of it, because it is your methodology of approaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِذَا سَعَلَقَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَعِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يُرْشَدُونَ. When my abd asks you about me, tell them, I am so near. I answer the call of the one who calls me, so let them respond to me. Let them have faith in me, so that they may be guided aright. The Prophet said that when Allah wants to answer or respond to his abd, He allows him to do dua. I love this hadith. I will repeat it in Arabic. The Prophet said, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ أَن يَسْتَجِيبَ لِعَبْدٍ أَذِنَ لَهُ فِي الدُّعَى. I was taught this as a child. My father used to tell me that the very fact that you do dua means Allah wants to answer you. So you know what? Even while you're listening to this, raise your hands up in dua and ask Him, because He's only inspired you to ask because He wants to answer. Imam Ali said, "Man qara'a bab Allah subhanahu futiha lahu." He who knocks on the door of Allah, it is open for him. Imam Hassan alayhi salam said, "Allah has never opened the door of request for anyone, only to hold back the door of response." How can He? He is your Rabb and my Rabb. If He allowed me to knock, then that's because He wants to open the door. But let's look at some of the conditions for the answering of dua. There was a group of people who came up to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and they said, you know what, Yabn Rasulullah, nad'u fala yustajabu lana. We do dua, but they're not answered. And Imam answered, لِأَنَّكُمْ تَدْعُونَ مَنْ لَا تَعْرِفُونَهُ. It is because you call upon the one whom you do not know. Now, you know what that means? They really mean that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي, let them respond to me and let them have faith in me, or let them believe in me. Imam Sadiq explains, it meant that they should know that I, Allah, am capable of giving them what they ask of me. In Hadith Qudsi, Allah says, I am what you make me to be, what you think me to be. In other words, we limit ourselves for ourselves. If we have doubts in our mind that this will not be answered, it will not be answered. I keep on saying to the children I speak to that the soul does not read in between the lines. It reads exactly what you and I say to it. Conviction and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the greatest things we can do. When Imam Ali alayhi salam was asked about the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, call on me and I will answer you. And he was told, why does it happen that we do dua and we are not answered? Imam said, because your hearts have been treacherous in 8 areas. The first of them being that you know Allah, but you don't fulfill your rights towards Him, as is obligatory upon you. So your inner knowledge of Him has not benefited you at all. So then when you do dua, it's not answered because you have blocked its doors and paths yourself. Another thing that stops du'as from being answered is not having lawful earnings. Rasulullah says, when an abd raises his hands to Allah while his food is unlawful, how can his du'as be answered in this state? make your earnings lawful and your du'as will be answered. Imam Sadiq says, if any of you want your du'as to be answered, then have lawful earnings, repay people their rights. For indeed the du'a of one who has unlawful food in his stomach or has wronged anyone cannot be raised to Allah. The next thing is to be able to have a presence of heart and a softness within oneself. The Prophet said, اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ دُعَاءٍ مِّنْ قَلْبٍ غَافِلٍ. Allah does not respond to the call, to the dua of a heedless heart. Look what else he says. He says, seize the opportunity to do dua during the tenderness of your heart, during the softness of your heart, for indeed therein there is a mercy. When tears flow, when you are moved by something, then raise your hands in dua. Imam Sadiq says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ دُعَانْ ظَهَرٍ قَلْبٍ قَاسٍ. Allah does not answer the dua that comes from a hard heart. And here he says the same thing as the Prophet did. Remember, these are the words of Rasulullah. When any of you feel softness and compassion to do dua, do dua. For no sooner does the heart soften than the dua becomes pure and sincere. Now let's look at the etiquettes of du'a, like we looked at the etiquettes of reciting Qur'an, which are known as adab al-du'a. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La yuraddu du'a awwalahu bismillahir rahmanir rahim. The du'a that is preceded by bismillahir rahmanir rahim will not be rejected. He says, Inna kullu du'a la yakunu qablahu tamhidun fahuwa aitar. Every dua that is not preceded by praise is incomplete. So start Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And then a very important bit, Salawat. Imam Sadiq says, a dua remains veiled until the one who does dua sends blessings on Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So awesome. These are simple things that we need to remember. The other thing is to implore, to beg. You know, Prophet Isa was told, O Isa, call upon me with a dua of a sorrowful one. As if one is drowning and has no savior. Do dua to me by imploring me, with dua being your prime concern. For if you call me like that, I will answer you. This is how this Yaqut say, Allah talking to Prophet Isa. Imam Hussain alayhi salam says that Rasulullah used to raise his hands and implore and beg, just like a poor man begs for food. So much to learn. So much in dua that you feel like, you know what? You don't want to talk to anyone. All you want to do is talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet also says that dua asked in secret equals 70 duas asked openly. Select a suitable time. The Prophet said that the best time to do dua is the time before dawn. And he recited the ayah in which Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam said, Sofa astaghfirullah rabbi. And he said, you know what? This Prophet Yaqub said this because he postponed his dua till the time before dawn. Imam Sadiq says, there are three times when du'as are not veiled from Allah. He says, one, after the completion of a wajib salah. Secondly, during rainfall. And third, during the manifestation of a miraculous sign from Allah on the earth. For example, when we pray Salatul Ayat, when there is an eclipse, because that's a sign of Allah. It's so awesome. But a couple of words of caution. Imam Ali says, O one who does dua, ya sahib ad-dua, la tas'al amma la yakun wa la yajil. Don't ask for the impossible and the impermissible. Secondly, he says, you know what? Don't seek a hasty response. Look what Imam Sadiq says. He says, the believer continues to remain in goodness, comfort and mercy from Allah. As long as he does not seek a hasty response, then despair and abandoning du'a as a consequence. And Imam says, well, what should he do? He says, you know what? Don't say that I have done du'a since such and such a time and I don't see an answer. Don't say things like that. Imam said, don't instruct Allah what is good for you. The Prophet said, Allah has said, O son of Adam, obey me in what I have commanded. Don't instruct me about what is good for you. Ask, but don't instruct me. And then the bit that I like the most. Who is the one whose request is granted without asking? Well, Abu Hamza narrates that Allah told Prophet Dawood. He said, Ya Dawood, O Dawood, إنه ليس عبد من عبادي يطيعني فيما أمره إلا أعتيت قبل أن يسألني واستجب له قبل أن يدعوني. There is no sooner does the abd from amongst my abd obeys me in what I have commanded that I give him before he asks me, and I answer him before he does dua to me. The Prophet said that Allah says, the one who is too preoccupied with my remembrance to ask me, I give him more than what the ones who ask have been given. And Sayyidah Fatimah Zahra is to end with her. She says, the one who sends to Allah his pure and sincere worship, Allah sends down for him that which will be of most benefit to him. And finally, completely at the end, I promise I will stop after this, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, beware of the dua of the parent, for it is sharper than the sword. The du'as of the children of my community are answered as long as they have not fallen into sin. And the one who recites Qur'an has a du'a of his answered, be it immediately or later. So let's honor our moms, respect our children, and read the Qur'an.